Protein sources are an important part of being self-reliant on a homestead. So that's why today we're talking about some of my favorite protein sources on the homestead, and not just the obvious ones that you would think of. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Farm Family Podcast, the podcast for families with old-fashioned hearts like ours, that believe what our world needs most is connection in the home. We help families learn together in ways that build life skills and foster curiosity, discovery, adventure, and discussion. In this podcast, we'll cover topics like homesteading, home education, homemaking, and pretty much all things old-fashioned and down home. I'm your host, Cheyenne Lene, a livestock-obsessed homeschool graduate, total book nerd, homesteader, pastaholic, loving daughter and big sister, and founder of Farmhouse Book Co. My whole family and I are so happy you're here. This is the Farm Family Podcast.
As far as protein sources on the homestead go, let's start with the obvious and get it out of the way. The obvious being livestock-based options. That's eggs, dairy, and meat. With eggs, you have quite a few options for layers. You could do ducks, chickens, geese, quail, and there are a few others that are a little less common that you can fit within there. Now, I'll go in on a podcast at a later date about the pros and cons between the different egg layers, but I will say my favorites so far are my ducks. I'm really impressed with them and their laying consistency, and they're just very sweet to each other. There are quite a few pros and cons there. I mean, they are pretty messy. So lately, instead of keeping them in a pen, we have been free-ranging our ducks, and that has really reduced the mess that comes with them. We do have to hunt a little bit more. They're a little less consistent sometimes with where they lay than chickens are. In fact, they'll kind of just plop them out as they go and walk along. But they are very consistent. My ducks are actually more consistent than my chickens when it comes to laying. They're more likely to lay in the winter if you live in a colder area. Where we live, our chickens and our ducks will actually lay year-round because it's warm enough for them. But if that is a concern for you, if you want something that will stretch the time period out that you're receiving eggs, ducks are a great option for that. There are also a few different options for dairy. There's goats, there's cows, there's sheep. Some people will even get camels if they live in an area where it will allow it. My favorite is sheep. There's so many benefits to sheep's milk. I have 2 ewes right now that we are milking. One's name is Rosie, the other's name is Marilla, and Marilla most certainly lives up to her name. Now, I did a lot of research deciding what qualities I wanted and the type of animal milk that I was going to have, and sheep's milk just checked all of the boxes for me. So there are a few options for you. I like to have my animals be as multi-purpose as possible. So something that I like about sheep is that they are a triple-purpose animal. You can raise them for wool, milk, or dairy, and for meat. And then they also have many benefits as far as, you know, keeping up with the land and things like that, that, you know, other livestock options for dairy will also benefit you in. The other thing is I really have enjoyed the taste and the flavor as well as the texture of sheep's milk. It's very sweet, it's creamy, it's not gamey, there's no weird flavors. It's very similar to cow's milk in that. I also like that they need a less high protein diet than other milk producing animals. We do still feed our sheep a high protein diet. However, it isn't required. They can still produce milk on a majority grass-based feed. And then the other option is meat, and there are quite a few options for that. You know, there's pigs, there's, you know, sheep like we have, you know, we'll have our lambs that we'll use for meat. You can grow meat chickens separate from your laying chickens. One of the most common for homesteaders, two of the most common options for homesteaders actually are rabbits and quail, especially if you're low on space. I did try quail and it was kind of a disaster for me on my homestead. I would like to try them again someday, but as of right now, I am definitely putting that very far on the back burner. It just wasn't worth it for me. But I have been very excited about raising meat rabbits. I have gotten about 4 New Zealand meat rabbits, 1 buck and 3 does. They're super sweet. We just adored them. Unfortunately, we purchased our meat rabbits from an area that is a much cooler area than we are. And also something unique to our area are things like sonic booms, and rabbits are scared very easy. They can actually die of fright because they will have a heart attack if they are severely distressed. So 2 of our rabbits died from, they were sick when we got them, and then another one, we had her for a very long time, not very long time, almost a year, but we had a really horrible sonic boom and she had a heart attack and died. But Peter is still going strong. So we're going to look into getting meat rabbits from around the area that maybe are a little bit more used to those sonic booms. The interesting thing about meat rabbits is how much 2 does and a buck can produce. 2 does and a buck can produce in the form of, you know, how many kits that they have and the per pound amount of meat that they produce in a year is actually equivalent to raising a yearling steer. However, it is often much less expensive in feed and it's a lot easier on space. It's a lot more of an option. Even if you're in the city, it's an option for becoming a little bit more self-sufficient. Okay, so now that the obvious is out of the way, let's move on to a little bit more of the obscure protein options. So the next option is nuts. So nut trees take quite a while to start producing, many, many years. They do take up a lot of space, so they're not an option for everybody. However, ground nuts, also known as peanuts, are a fantastic option, especially for people that live in maybe a smaller area or don't feel comfortable planting trees. Or better yet, and this is what we're going to do, you've planted a few nut trees, maybe hazelnuts and almond. So they'll take quite a few years before they'll start producing, but while you're waiting for those trees to mature, plant ground nuts, preserve, start making peanut butter whey. And that's another great option for bringing on protein into your homestead that kind of helps fill that gap while you're waiting for your nut trees to start producing regularly. The other options are products that also have a lot of protein in them, like oats. Believe it or not, you can grow quite a bit of oats in a small amount of space. And the other thing is that they're a great dual-purpose crop because they act as a cover crop, protecting your soil and your land. And it's always very important. Cover crops are crucial for us around here. We live in the desert. The soil quality is pretty poor. So when you do build it up, you need to protect it and keep it covered. Other options are crops that, when combined together, create a fair bit of protein, like rice and beans. Growing crops of rice and beans and then storing the rice in food storage is a great option because you're creating those proteins by combining them with other foods and having that supplement your diet. Most places aren't able to grow rice, so perhaps you grow the beans and store the rice as food storage that you purchase. So those are our main tips and ideas that I have for protein sources on the homestead. And I hope that helped give you some ideas. I know that when I'm planting my crops and I'm planning what I want to do with my homestead, both now and in the future, it's important to me that there is an element of survival and self-sufficiency, and that if something were to happen, we'd have the best chances of surviving. Well, I want some hardiness in my homestead that will be able to really keep up our energy levels to continue to work the homestead and develop it further so that when we have some more of those comforts, you know, that we would like to have, that take a lot of energy and time and effort to work, you know, we want to have those substantial meatier things in place. It's important that when you're in a, you know, when you find yourselves in survival situations, you need those things that'll stick with you, that will give you the energy to continue to keep going. And so the things that would be important to me would be wheat or potatoes, beans, groundnuts and other nuts, meat, dairy, eggs, things like that that I know will stick in our bellies and require a smaller amount of food to be able to convert that to the energy that we need. Whereas things like spinach, which are also very important and very high on our priority list as far as crops to grow, especially because they are a high rotation crop and they grow fast, the only thing is it's lower in the nutritional value, in the sense that while it's high in all these nutrients that you need and you still want to include that in your crops, it won't stick in your tummy for as long. You have to eat a lot more spinach to get the calorie intake that you would get for a small amount of protein. So you want to make sure that you're planning ahead to be able to fulfill those energy requirements for your family. So that's my method. I hope this podcast helped a little bit. Be sure to stay tuned and subscribe so that you will be able to see our new episodes.
Hey, hey, you just completed another episode of the Farm Family Podcast. Look at us, taking on the world together, one family at a time. If you'd like to connect with other like-minded families, head over to Facebook and join our Farm Family Podcast group. And hey, I'd love to see you around here more often. If you haven't already, click the subscribe button. And if you're really feeling it, leave a review. I love hearing from you and reading your words. Have a great day, Farm Family.